Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. You know, when I make the introduction to my show, it feels like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this like my entire life. Of course, I haven't been. But anyway, it's a really lovely it's not Thursday. That's when my usual shows were Thursday. It's Wednesday. So I changed it to Wednesday. I think I did it to accommodate my guest. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce my very special guest this evening. Is the one and only, and I've been listening to him for about 2 years now, Jake Thistle. Now, Jake is very involved in the performing arts. He is a musician and also has a band. And I will say this, and then I'm going to ask Jake a question, and we're going to have a wonderful show tonight. I will say that Jake just released his very first album in December of 2020 at the age of 16 years old. So that alone is so impressive to me. So welcome, Jake, to Ryan Knox at Asbury Park Style.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. One of the first I'll tell you how I got into music. And a lot of people ask me, because I tend to play, songs older than my generation. And that kind of leads into that question. But when I was about 3 years old, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers played the Super Bowl halftime show. And I just remember being mesmerized by it. My parents let me stay up for half of the game and maybe thinking I'd get into sports or something. But that didn't really happen. I remember loving the music.
Jake, did I ask you the question? Who influenced you the most while you were growing up and why? Because that's the first question I ask, and I asked you it. I told you about it before we started the show, but can you give me that answer and then pick up from where you left off? Like, who influenced you the most while you were growing up and why?
Sure. Yeah. I would say it's probably Tom Petty. He was, really the guy that started, my love of music. When I was three, and I've been listening to them ever since. And then when I was, I'm sorry?
I love him. Rest
oh, yeah.
His soul.
For sure, yeah. He's just, he's one of the most, obviously amazing, musicians and songwriters, but I also think just one of the most consistent, It was like everything, he put out over the years was just exceptional. But, so when I started playing guitar a few years later when I was nine, I really started pretty much only playing Heartbreaker stuff for a while. But I would say he's the one that influenced me the most because, when I was younger, I'd go on YouTube a lot when I was trying to discover new music. And so pretty much every artist I listened to and know was kind of recommended to me through Tom Petty.
Right. Well, you couldn't get a better mentor, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. He and the band and the family have been really supportive of me and so many musicians over the years. And so I'm really, really grateful that I was kind of, I don't consider really me picking him as a mentor. It kind of just kind of fell in my lap with that halftime show that I was mesmerized by. So I'm really grateful that I kind of found him because he's just such a good person to kind of look
right
up to musically and everything like that.
I just was so amazed. Like, I've been listening to you, as I told you before, for a few years. And I was always saying, wow, I really enjoy Jake's music. And he's multi-talented. He plays so many different instruments. And then it just came up that I kind of decided to have you on my show. And then found out that you had just released an album in December, your first album, at 16 years old. And to me, that is so impressive as well. Because it took me 40 years to do my first. I was recording all along, but I never really released anything until, believe it or not, I was 40 years old. So there's a lot of difference in ages there, even though I was playing at 17 years old. And a lot of people knew me around Asbury as a singer-songwriter. But getting back to you, I just was really so impressed with your dedication and with how you've handled your career so far is really commendable. Because, you know, when I did the little bit of research, I didn't have to look very far because there was a lot about you. And I did put it in the promo. I wanted people to know this about you, that, and I need, I swear, I mean, I have contacts and glasses, and now I need, okay, this is great. I need a magnifying glass to see this, that I was so surprised that it says that along the way, Jake has personally raised over $100,000 for a variety of charitable organizations through an extensive range of fundraising performances. And then it goes on. And so then you can tell us about, you can talk about how you got into the fundraising, but you can also tell us about, you know, how you've been featured on CBS News, Variety, Billboard, and it goes, the list goes on and on. So how did you first, what was your very first, like, how did you get into so young and, you know, getting into the music business, it's a very intricate and interesting business. It's also a difficult business to break into. And so what prompted you to get involved in, you know, organizing and doing these not-for-profit, these charitable things?
You know, it came across a few different ways, actually. You know, the two charities I've probably worked the most with over the years is the American Cancer Society and Rock the Dogs Tazzy Fund, which is an animal rescue charity based in California. And it's Mike Campbell and his wife's charity, who's the lead guitarist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And so, you know, to start with the American Cancer Society, that was something that I kind of found. I was playing a gig somewhere a couple towns over, and someone had seen me, and he asked if I wanted to, you know, help play the I would play the cocktail hour for the American Cancer Society, and so I did it, and it was a good time. And then they said, you know what, why don't we auction you off, and because people seem to like you, so we'll auction off a 2-hour gig with Jake Thistle or something like that. And so I said sure, you know, and it got a pretty good response, and we ended up, I think, giving it to three people or something like that. And then a different section of the American Cancer Society had heard about that. And so they asked me to do another event. And so now usually I do about 2 events a year for them where I'll play their cocktail hour and then I will get auctioned off. And it's always very cool gigs that come out of that as well. Yeah. And so I really appreciate that. So that's where I've raised a lot. And then for Rock the Dogs, you know, obviously I heard about that just through me loving Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Mike Campbell, but I was really just drawn to this charity. I'm an animal lover, and so, you know, they right. do a lot of great work, and, you know, they are, I work very closely with them, and, you know, they're really busy people, you know, I mean, they're just really working, they're helping so many animals and families and everything like that. It's an animal rescue charity, and so every year I put together a fundraiser for them, and it's we do a big live stream on Facebook, and we promote it. Usually I try to have guests in everything. This year it ended up last year it ended up just being a solo thing. It was supposed to be out at the Danny Clinch Gallery, actually, with a bunch of guests and a band. So unfortunately that didn't work out. It got canceled because of, you know, the pandemic and everything like that. But then we did an American Cancer Society thing at the Danny Clinch.
Yeah, I know Danny Clinch. I met Danny Clinch in 2013. We were both in a documentary about Bruce Springsteen, Friends and Fans. And so Alessandra Lee DeCampi, who flew in from Italy, said, do you want to come with me, Nancy? Because I had been just interviewed. And she said, you want to come with me? I'm doing Danny Clinch next. And he happened to be inside Convention Hall, and he was selling his photography. It was in the summertime. So that's when I met Danny Clinch in 2013, and we since have become friends, and he's been on my radio show, and I've been down to his. I love it. I love Danny's place. You know, and I told him, I said, oh, you're not going to just be here for 6 months. You're going to be here for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful place for people to go and gather. And, yeah, that's a great place. It's a great place. So, yeah, I'm sure you played there several times.
Yeah, I played there about, well, I'm always down there, when things open up, I'm back, but for that Springsteen thing they do over there, And so I've played there, I think, three or four times from that. And then I've had, I did the American Cancer Society fundraiser there. Because normally, like I said, I would play the cocktail hour, but this, or I guess last year, because of the pandemic, they couldn't really do that. So they kind of had a live stream. So I co-hosted a live stream and I put together, I got a couple, I got some people down there and we, you know, I mean, we followed all the protocols and we couldn't pack a lot of people in there. So it was just me and my co-host and a cameraman for the most part. But it was a really good time. And that's the most recent time I've played there, but hopefully I can get back soon.
Yeah, hopefully we can all get back to some normalcy, you know, because it's a shame. I really miss it. I actually promote some people. In fact, I won't even get into that, but I was lucky enough to be asked to come up on stage at Danny's. I was there to see my friend Paul Whistler and Sharon Lasher and another gentleman. I don't recall his name. I didn't really know him very well. But one song, Sharon gets off and she said, "Oh, come, you know, Nancy, come, you know." So I got up. She goes, "You know the song." So I got up and sang there. But yeah, I hope to do a show there one of these days when things get back to some kind of normalcy where they can have, you know, have entertainment there again, because it's a great, great place for that. It is just super comfortable. It's just the lighting is great. The stage, the feeling is awesome. Tina is just fabulous. She's been on my show as well. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Transparent, of the exhibit, Danny Clinch's place. So getting back to you, the list of people that you have met in your short life here just is is so long. It's like not just Tom Petty, but, you know, if you want to talk about some other, like, well, what about Radio City Hall? Like, or was it Radio City Hall that you were going to sing at or did sing at? Or just tell us about
it. Yeah, it was actually, it's funny. That was Radio City Music Hall. They had a special private performance there for it was put together by one of the guys that got me in the auction for the American Cancer Society. So that's how I was lucky enough to do that was they auctioned me off and this guy happened to be, you know, he was doing things for, you know, his company and his clients. And so he rented out, you know, part of Radio City Music Hall. They had a private, you know, kind of party there. And so I was the entertainment playing for them. And so that was really cool. I'm very grateful for that. But I've been really fortunate to meet, you know, a lot of really supportive people and play with a lot of really supportive people. And that really means the world that, they are interested, because I just have such a fun time playing that, you know, getting to do it is a really great thing.
Right, right. Every time you say they auctioned me off, every time I smile ear to ear. Every single time you say that, they auctioned me off. I think you have to write a song about it. It would be a great song for you to sing. They auctioned me off, and that's how my career began. Is they auctioned me off, and here I am today accepting my first Grammy award. Because, I mean, when I was reading off these lists of people, I'm going, holy moly. I mean, seriously, where's my magnifying glass again? I swear. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so you've been featured on CBS News, Variety, Billboard, American Songwriters Magazine, The Record, CBS FM, New York City's Q Point 104, I can't see if that's a 3FM, I guess. Yeah. Norman's Rare Guitars. What is Norman's Rare Guitars?
That's a really cool place.
Guitar stuff?
Yeah, it's out in California. It's in Los Angeles, and we went over there. I'd always been a really big fan of he is a really great kind of presence on social media. And they're always have just some of the coolest people in there. You know, Tom Petty was in there a lot, and John Mayer's been in there. Like pretty much everyone that wants a cool guitar, you know what I mean? They go over there.
They probably have my. Well, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
They probably have my cool Takamine. My prototype of the Takamine probably ended up over there. And then when I heard that Bruce plays his favorite guitar is a Takamine, I go, Nancy, boy, that was one of your biggest mistakes you ever made, was to sell that. I mean, really. Oh, okay, but go ahead. So And California, when you mention California, that also, I get crazy because I left New Jersey when I was in my early 30s, and I stayed there 28 years. I took my guitar in one hand and my suitcase in the other. I sold everything I had, got rid of everything, gave away most of it, and took off. And I lived in San Diego. I loved it. I loved it. So I love California. So anyway, getting back to Norman's Rare Guitars. And then, okay,
yeah,
and all guitar. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was, you know, being out there was a really great time. I was so grateful to be out there. I was hired to go out there and play with some of the Heartbreakers for like a, it was, we did like a Tom Petty kind of tribute concert out there for him around his birthday. And so, you know, obviously, you know, that we just had such a great group of musicians out there. So I'm so grateful to be for years. So I was really looking forward to being out there and rehearsing with them. And it was just kind of a dream come true, but I always wanted to kind of make time for, you know, Norm and Norm's Rare Guitars, even if I weren't. So I just wanted to go in there and see it in person because I'd seen
right.
it online for so many
sure.
times while I was on the LA trip. And then I found out that we were actually, we were going to promote the gig we were doing at Norman's Rare Guitars. And so that was like a dream come true because I got to do a video for him. And then they took me over next door to another place they have called All Guitar Network, where I filmed a couple of songs for them and they went up. And so, I mean, it was a great time. Yeah, I got to go there and play a bunch of guitars and film a couple promo videos with, you know, some amazing
right.
people. I got to meet Norm and everything.
And
everyone was just so nice out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so, yeah,
California.
California
is a great place. It's a different feel, totally. I mean, that's my own personal view. When I moved to California, it was like I was in a different culture. And I think the environment and the weather has a lot to do with it because people are outside. They're getting a lot more vitamin D than we get back here. It's just people, I don't know, they seem to be like happier, more upbeat, but yet laid back. It's kind of a dichotomy because that's the way I felt. And I just fell in love with San Diego. So I lived 10 minutes from the beach and I just stayed there forever. I was 15 minutes to Tijuana, like the border, and right around La Jolla, Carlsbad area, a great place. But and I've been in L.A., of course, but and up and down the coast to L.A. That's as far
yeah, I've
as
always
I,
really wanted
I
to get over there. When we were in L.A., and so, Ron Blair, who was, he's a bassist for Tom Petty and Heartbreakers, I talk with him a lot mm-hmm. out there. He was, you know, one of the main guys at that gig, and he lives in San Diego. And so,
yeah,
you know, he's very, very
really
fond
beautiful.
Of it. So hopefully one day when we open up a little more, I could head back out there and, you know, I'll definitely next time I'm over there, I'll make the trip down see that because I really want to get over there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. You Jake, you got to go. You really do. I mean, of course, look, Newport Beach, you know, Santa Barbara, like all of those places that I visited. But when you get down more into the beachy communities, you hit like Dana Point and then you hit San Clemente. Oh, my God. And then, you know, you hit Carlsbad and La Jolla. La Jolla Cove is like outrageously gorgeous. And then right behind that area is, of course, Rancho Santa Fe. And it's funny, Regis Philbin was, you know, a talk, well, maybe you don't know because you're so young, but Regis Philbin had a talk. He was a talk TV
yeah, yeah.
radio and TV forever. And so someone asked him a question once. They said to him, Regis, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? And without a beat, missing a beat, he goes, Rancho Santa Fe. Well, because I think I think Janet Jackson has a place there, but like when you drive into, like I was maybe 15 minutes, I could drive into Rancho Santa Fe, and you feel like you're in another world because there's mostly horse farms and there's so many beautiful hills and it's so green and lush. And then they've got pine trees next to the palm trees. I mean, like even Torrey Pines. You've got to really go to San Diego. It's absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous place to go. And the city is really nice, too. And Seaport Village, you know, you go there and they have all the yachts. And it's a very, very cool place. I would have been back there 20 years ago, except I didn't really want to go back to work. That's the bottom line.
I got
so
you. Yeah.
I'm going to stay here. I retired, and that's it. I retired at 55, so that's it. So getting back to you and, oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine what you've done so far. Now, have you actually played with David Bowie?
I'm sorry?
Have you actually played with David Bowie and John Lennon?
No, I haven't, but I played with Earl Flick, who is he was David Bowie's guitarist and John Lennon's guitarist for a little while. He was he was out there in LA too. It was we were trying to the people that put it together was like Ron Blair from the Heartbreakers and Steve Ferroni from the Heartbreakers, and then Mike Campbell, who was in the Heartbreakers too. He couldn't make the gig because he was still on tour with Fleetwood Mac. And so, we got some other amazing guitarists, and Earl Flick was one of them, and, he's just amazing, super nice guy, and Carmen Vanderberg, who co-wrote Jeff Beck's album, and, it was just an all-star cast, and so I'm so grateful to, I'm grateful to even just to have, stood backstage and watched the parts where I wasn't on stage, but, being
right.
on stage, I got to open a show with the Heartbreakers, and so some of them, so I'm so grateful for that, And them being so supportive really means the world.
It's awesome. It really is. It's very, very cool. I get very excited because you bring me back to my days in the music business that I don't talk about much. I talked to you personally on the phone the other night, talked your ear off. But I had some wonderful experiences, and I know exactly it's so nice to have you on and hear the joy and the excitement that you have had with these experiences, because I had someone that made it possible for me to stand a few feet away from David Bowie at the Garden, Madison Square Garden. And I was on stage with Lynyrd Skynyrd. I didn't perform with them, but I was on the stage. I met Blue Oyster Cult. I took Peter Frampton to a concert he played at. I did so many things, 30s. That was so amazing and awesome. And I not once, and I met so many, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I met a lot more people. And speaking of Beck, one of the Becks, I don't know if it was Jeff Beck. I think there's another brother, if I'm not mistaken, but it might've been Jeff Beck. I sang at, I think it's called My Father's or Your Father's Mustache or something like that in Upper State, New York. And I sang, I was in my 20s. And he happened to be there and played guitar, and I said, love the one you're with. And it was just really awesome. And you're doing this a lot. I just did it, a few times. I've had some opportunities I met B.B. King. Well, here I go. So this is what happens. I get because I'm a musician all my life. And now in radio, it's it's a double-edged sword for me because I have you on who has had all this experience, but then you remind me of what I've done. And that's what's good about being involved with younger people. So getting back to you, I want to ask you some questions because I want to stop talking about me, but I want to thank you for all the resurfacing all of those memories that are, recessed, because I'm getting up there now in age. And I was so fortunate. I never told one of those people that I was a musician. I never said, oh, wow, I'm a singer, songwriter, guitar player and all this, and, oh, my brother's this, that, and the other. I never did. I just was kind of in awe. I would just meet them. I would be introduced as Nancy, and that would be it. And I would say hello, and we'd chat. But I would never say anything about music. I'm not sure why that is, but it is what it is. So, but I sure do. I'm sure glad that I had those experiences. They go, knock on the door. It's a surprise. A surprise. Peter Frampton answers the door. I'm like, hello. Oh, hi, Mr. Frampton. it was really, so we took him to the Philadelphia Academy of Music in New York City where he played a concert. And anyway, getting back to you. So you've done all these things. Let me get my paper out again and see how many other wonderful people that you've been playing with. I think it's so great. And then, so it's almost like this list that you have, Okay, Stevie Nicks is here. Well, I did meet someone from, I met the drummer with Fleetwood Mac in San Diego. I met lots. In fact, it wasn't just in Jersey. I know, here we go. I said I wasn't going to talk about it. But every time I meet a person, I go, oh, wait a minute. I met a person from that band. But anyway, so you've met all these people from different bands, and they know about you and your talent. And I'm sure that you're going to be continuing. What are your future plans? Like, you've done this. Are you going to go, like, once things lighten up a little bit and you can go out, are you going to, you know, go on tour with to promote your album? Do you have, like, future plans like that?
Yeah, I've been, the album was so much fun to do. I did it right here from home because all the studios were closed. So, I did everything in the room I'm sitting in now, actually, all through a soundboard and everything like that. And so to get the album out, and I'm really glad it didn't. So now I'm just I've been really busy writing, and I want to get another one out, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm not exactly sure how the other one's going to come out yet. I had such a good time doing it at home, but, you know, I only did it at home because the studios were closed. And so maybe when this album's getting recorded, I can go into the studio for real and do something. So I'm not exactly sure what the future holds with that, but I know that another one's coming, and I know I'm going to have a great time doing it. And I want to do this for a really, really long time. And so, hopefully, right now I'm just writing and planning and getting ready. And then eventually, I'll have a better, we really don't know especially with the pandemic and everything, we don't know what's going to be happening in six months or anything like that. So,
no, we really don't. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now I'm just, hoping
YouTube
for the
now,
best and
you have,
having a great time.
Yeah, but you have so much on YouTube. So, I mean,
yeah.
The list just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And also your album, it's available now. Is available on all platforms? Is it through CD Baby? Or, like, how can people get a hold of your album?
Right now it's on jakethistle.com. That is that's the place where you can get the album. I'm sorry?
Okay, so you're doing it yourself. Since you've produced it,
and then
yourself.
Soon it'll be on the streaming platform. So it came out December 12th on the website, and then probably later this month it'll be on all the streaming platforms.
Right. Yeah, I recently did a single, and I have two reasons I want to mention this. Number one, I released a single, but I released an album, a 12-song album, like 10 years ago that I never promoted. So I'm getting ready to promote that. I'll just attach the link to it, to promote it. And I want to get airplay, of course, all over the place. But what I was going to say is that I'm working with and who I want to recommend for you, who I really is just the greatest guy. And he is like a little bit older than you are, but he's really young. He's 25. So I mentioned him to you the other day. So Kyle Ward, to me, the two of you are prodigies. That's what I think of you and Kyle. Because, I think you said that you played every instrument maybe except for one on your album. Now, Kyle is the same way. He played every instrument on our single. We have a single together. So it's Ryan Rocks Productions, LLC, and Kyle Ward Productions, LLC. And I can highly recommend his studio to you, because he has a beautiful studio in Rumson. It's an awesome studio. And when you get a chance, who he is. He knows who you are, I'm sure. And, and he has an open studio right now. And he's very careful, and it's just a one-on-one. So he just does one-on-one, has one person at a time. So if you ever do want to look for a studio, and a really awesome studio, Kyle's the one. You can just Google him, or I'll send you his information. You can call him up, whatever, and talk to him. He's just wonderful. So
awesome. Thank you. Yeah, sounds great. I'm not exactly sure how the record's happening yet, but,
I mean, there's a lot of great studios. I mean, there's a lot of great studios. Guy Daniels has a studio as well. it's like I said to Guy, I said, oh, yeah, Guy, I'd love to record at your studio. He records, you know, Bruce Springsteen and, you know, the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger. But, like, I'm afraid that my pocketbook won't afford that. So Kyle is starting out in the business, and so he's really, and he's so talented that he just puts out, you can go and listen to his music. He just won a big award too. But anyway, let's get back to you. So yeah, let's hope that we get a lot of people vaccinated and that you're able to start performing again, but you keep doing what you're doing. And as far as airplay is concerned, I'm sure, you know, you're going to throw a few of your songs from your album out on radio stations. Have you done that yet?
I have, yeah. I've been, I've been promoting it, especially right when it came out. And so it was, we sent it out a lot of, you know, the press kit and everything like that. So I was really, surprised by the response. I just kind of threw it up there and, you know, hope for the best because I had a good time doing it. So it didn't really, you know, but it, people seem to really like it. And so I'm really grateful for that. And it, got some play, some places. And so that really means the world just because I had so much fun doing it. I'm just glad, you know, people don't mind listening, you know?
Oh no, I'm sure that they're thrilled to listen to it. My sister listened to you do the cover, The River, and she sent me a message immediately back and she said, oh my God, OMG. Wow. That was great. Like, she really enjoyed it. So you're a real talented guy. Like, I'm hoping, like, I'm like waiting for the day that I can watch you on The Late Show on James Gordon. You know, Steve Colbert.
Oh, thank you.
Colbert, and then hop over and see my friend James Gordon. I wish I could say that. Yeah, really. I mean, his show is, like, so awesome. He loves having all the young, you know, new performers. Years ago, would be like the Ed Sullivan Show, right? The Ed Sullivan Show. Well,
yeah.
There's no more Ed Sullivan Show. So there's no more American Bandstand. There's nothing like that. And even with the technology, it's, like, really awesome that, like, somebody like me can just go on and just scroll and see you, like, YouTube after YouTube after YouTube, like, song after song after song after song after song, and listen. You know, so that's it's really, the technology is great for emerging, coming up artists like yourself.
Yeah, I'm really grateful, you know, for the internet and being able to, especially during the pandemic where I've been doing a lot of virtual stuff, a lot of live feeds, and, you know, that was like when the record came out, I didn't tour or anything like that, but I did a big ticketed event live feed, like one-off show where I just played the album front to back, and then I did some requests, and it was a good time. For me, it was a great time. I think everyone seemed to have a good time, and so I'm really grateful for the internet to help me kind of connect with people, and that way, you know, I had people, from, you know, different parts around the country and Europe and other places. So it was just really, really nice to kind of, you know, build that community through the internet. I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, that's really terrific. That's really terrific. Yeah, it's funny. The world's changed. It's like, you know, even like today, like I put Dr. Phil on. I didn't watch it very long, but it's like, and then he's got just these little cute, it almost reminds me of, there used to be a show called Laughin', and they would have the comedians in these cubicles, you know, and they'd be stacked, like they'd be up high, and there'd be like, I don't know, six across, and then six, another six, another six, like six rows of six, something like, I don't know, maybe more, maybe eight rows, I don't know, but, and they would like ask a question, and then they would like, it would light up around the square, like Goldie Hawn, they would ask Goldie Hawn a question, and then she would answer it, and it was, of course, it was a total comedy show, Laughing, and, that's what it reminds me of now, where like Dr. Phil's show, instead of the audience, they have like all these squares and you can like be a guest. Like you can call in and you can be a guest. And like, so I could call in and I could be, have my face in there. And Dr. Phil would say, oh, hi, Nancy. Oh, Nancy's from New Jersey, whatever. Like maybe I'll do that. I don't know. But it's so, everything's changed and it keeps evolving as the, you know, the longer that the pandemic continues, the more people are thinking of ways to connect because, well, now James Gordon, like he still doesn't have an audience. he still has, like, his guests are coming on virtually. So, you know, that's the way. And my friend Nick Clemens, he just did a 9-hour show recently because he did, you know, every year they do Big Man's Birthday Bash. And I was lucky enough to be involved in that, which was awesome. And they played my single, and I called them. They said, we want you to call in and talk. So that was really a great venue. But I see big things for you. I know I'll be seeing you on TV for sure.
Oh, I appreciate it. I just have such a great time doing it. So I'm glad I can. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where it takes me because it's a great time. I want to do it, you know, forever. So if I can, you know, that'd be great. That's kind of the goal.
Oh, that's that. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm not a psychic. What is it? What did my laptop just do? Uh oh. Hold on. What happened here? My laptop went off.
But
are you still there, Jeff?
But yeah.
Are you still there? Jeff?
I'm sorry.
Something happened with my laptop. My laptop made and it like went off. I can't believe
this. Oh, maybe it. Did it just go to sleep? Or?
No, it shouldn't do that ever. No, my laptop like crashed. It went.
It
went off. Like my show is like off. We are not connected. Oh my gosh. I don't know what happened. I have no clue. I'm not sure if the electricity went off. No, the electricity is still on.
Is it charging?
This
like, does it have a charge?
No. No, because it's plugged in. It's plugged. My computer is always. It's Wi-Fi, but plugged in. So unless something happened with my electricity, I don't know what happened. My computer, oh, gosh. Well, we might have to do another show.
Did you try restarting it?
I don't, you know, I'm trying to do that right now, like to start it up again, and it's just like dead.
Are we still on the air or no?
You know what? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think my laptop like literally crashed. And I have a business laptop. And I have just had a new, brand new board put in it, like about 2 months ago. I'm just checking out oh, God. Somehow or other. Hold on. I don't know what happened. My surge protector was off. Hold on a second. Are you there? When my laptop went
off. I'm here, yeah. Are you sure we're off the air?
No, we're not on the air. Nope. When my laptop, but my surge, when it went do-do-do-do-do like that and everything went blank, dead. So I hit the enter button thinking, oh, well, it just went into sleep mode, whatever. Sometimes that happens. But I'm plugging the back of it right now and waiting for a second. And let me plug it back in again.
Look at Blog Talk Radio. I still hear us talking. Like, I don't know if we're still... I don't know if we're off.
My computer started up again, but I don't know if I'll be in my studio. Hold on.
But I'm not sure if we're still I don't know if we're off the air. I'm looking at Blog Talk Radio now. I think we're still on.
Oh, you are. Okay. Well, let me see what happens on my end, because when I went in and looked, my surge protector had turned off, and I turned it back on again, and now my computer's it's booting up again. If it takes me, if I can get back into my studio successfully, then maybe, I mean, hopefully we'll be still. We're still recording.
That's what I'm saying. On Blog Talk Radio, we're still on.
Everybody out there in Radio Land. Okay, that was the first. I just need to apologize. We're on the air. Okay, we're on the air. If we were off the air for a little bit, you said we weren't, that we were on the air all along, right?
I think so. You know, I've been looking. I've been on the radio. I still see us on. So.
Okay. Well, that's so weird. You know what? I got to say something. I don't usually blame people for things. Things just happen. But my cat was in there. She was in where everything's hooked up. I put my little office in my closet, but I can't really do it in there. It's my office. I can't do it because the audio is terrible. So I have set up a table, and I do it in my living room where the audio is nice. But she was in there, and she was fooling around that area. I don't know if she could have clicked that off, the power off. The surge protector was off when I went in there. Okay, so look, we didn't get disconnected. We're still on the air. So look at folks, for all that listening to that, oh, what's going on? Did my electricity go off? We're still on the air. So forgive the interruption, but that's showbiz. What can I say? That's showbiz. So, Jake. I am so excited that you can come on my show. And I'm going to say it one more time, and I mean this in the kindest way possible, and in the most excited, it's just so exciting for me, that you are 17 years old. And I think that it is just, I'm so excited for you, because I can, you know, I'm not a fortune teller. That's what I was saying before. I'm not psychic. I can't. That's where we dropped off. That's when I said I'm not psychic, because I think I am a little psychic. That's when my total everything went dead. But I didn't foresee that. But I foresee great things for your future. I really do. And it really means a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's like, you know, when I got into this, I did this wonderful album with Jeff Levine at Organic Sound Studio. That's another great studio on Broadway. I don't like to exclude people. I know a lot of people. Acorn Digital, my friend John Mullerin, he's got a great studio. There's so many wonderful recording studios around. But you seem to be doing a wonderful job of it yourself. And so if you're a one-man show, that's awesome that you can do that. And that's what I think is so awesome about, you know, my friend Kyle, that he is so multi-talented. I mean, I would love to be able to play the piano too, but I can play like two songs. That's it. So when I see people that can play, that get off the drums and get on to the keyboard and then get on the guitar and then sing and then do all these things, to me, it's I really like admire that. I really admire that. And in addition, write your own music, too. And I haven't heard all your music yet, but I certainly do look forward to hearing it. So.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great time to write and record. You know, it was, you know, in addition to it being a great time and something I've been wanting to do for a while, it was just a great way to kind of, you know, keep the rust off, you know, in quarantine when I wasn't gigging as much or anything like that. And it really, like, when I was, you know, playing this, you know, and I was, you know, I was like, oh, well, I got to add a bass track, so let me learn how to play bass, you know, and it was just kind of like, it was a way for me to just kind of become a better musician, so I'm grateful for that opportunity as well.
Right, definitely. So let me ask you this, other than doing music, writing songs and recording yourself and doing music, what do you do, like, do you have any other, like, hobbies, or what do you do to relax? What do you do when you're not in the studio?
I really like history, and I like school in general. Like, that's always been something I've always really enjoyed. So I like history and learning about that. And in addition, I just like to write. And so most of the time I'm just writing songs, but you know, every once in a while, you know, for school or whatever, I've always enjoyed writing. And so I'd say writing and kind of history and things like that. But, you know, music's always been my number one. That's pretty much what I do to relax and get energy and everything. It's kind of, you know, you know how it is, you know, it's just kind of the solution for everything, I suppose.
Right. Well, music is definitely music. Yeah. I have a girlfriend of mine gave me a birthday present a few years ago now. It's many years now. We're like friends for 10 years. I met her in front of the Stone Pony in Asbury Park. So a lot younger than I am, but I'm such a young soul anyway. I mostly have younger friends. And it says, I am music. And then it's got like an old, it's got an old vinyl, and it's got a, and it says, I am rock, I am rock, I am rock through the whole thing, you know. And it's so cool. And yeah, music takes a lot of your being when you are a true musician, but I'm like in my later years, I'm especially interested, and I like history too. I've always enjoyed history, was one of my favorite subjects, but I like, and I like math, but I, there's a few other things that I like, but I'm really into documentaries. I like movies too. I like movies, but documentaries are kind of my favorite. And I watched a great documentary.
Yeah, I like them a lot too.
I bought the library where I live around the corner is like, it sold, they had documentaries for sale, like decided to clean out. I go, you're kidding, $1 a piece? So that day I bought like 40 documentaries, and I was really lucky too because I got some music ones. I got some, you know, the Stones. I got some old Beatles. I got some, I don't even remember. I'm going to make a list now because now I have 100. Like, so this was like years ago, about 2 years ago. So I bought 4. Then I went back the next day and I bought another 30. Then I went back the next day. So now I have over 100, actually. So
nice. My favorite, I think my favorite documentary of all time is Echo in the Canyon, which I've
never
on Netflix.
Heard
but
that.
That's a great one. It's about
about
it's kind of about that, you know, sound and I'm sorry.
It's about the Grand Canyon.
No, it's about the you know, out in California, and that sound that kind of originated with the Beach Boys and things like that, and like Laurel Canyon and that area.
Oh, Echo in the Canyon. Okay.
And so yeah, it was it was kind of put together and hosted by Jacob Dylan, and he kind of went around and talked to a bunch of people. I mean, he did a great job. He covered all the, you know, Tom Petty's in it, Jackson Browne's in it, Brian Wilson's in it, you know, Ringo Starr's in it. Like, it's pretty much Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young's in it. It's really great. Another reason I had seen that a couple of years ago, but then when I was out in LA, some of the musicians that I played with out there were the musicians that, you know, played these songs in Echo in the Canyon. And so, you know, it was really cool to, now when I watched it, I can kind of point out, you know, who I know, and they were all just so nice, and so that kind of just makes the documentary even better for me.
Right. Yeah, no, I put that down. I'll put that on my list. I must have probably 1,000 movies that I want to watch. Every time I see something, or when I watch a movie and they have the previews, sometimes I'll skip the previews, but a lot of times I won't, and then I'll write down and go, oh, that looks good. I'll watch that. But, like, I'll put that on my list, Echo in the Canyon, and watch it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. The cover's kind of
on Netflix.
A blonde Rickenbacker.
It's on Netflix. Yeah, well, I just got Netflix, so I'm good there. And I got Discovery Plus because I just interviewed somebody that Ian Shive, and he's one of, in fact, I told you that you know, this show is being aired on, it's called Read Between the Lines for Springsteen, because his mom, Mary Ann Shive, her husband was a rock and roll photographer. He photographed, you know, Bruce and like all the iconic musicians. And so he said, I'm not going to be in the interview. He said, I'm not going to get into photography. My father was a rock and roll photographer, and I just really didn't think I would do it. But then he did get interested. But then he became, and I said, Ian, I said, are you kidding? You're a trekker. That's what I called him. I said, don't get mad. You're a trekker. I love those shows. I said, but I'm not going to watch that Naked and Alive. That's not for me. And he laughed. He goes, no, I'm not watching that either. But what he does is he just got his big, he's been doing on Discovery for 2 years, and now he got a show called The Last Wonder. I think The Last Wonder, I think it's called. And he was in the Aleutian Islands. So he goes to all these places, and he not only films it, but, like, he's doing the physical, all the physical work, and cameras are behind him and all around him. And he was a very interesting guy to have on my show. But so, you know, this is so awesome because that's the way things work is networking. Like, you were networked, you know, you networked through your charity organizations, and it brought you to meeting all these wonderful artists, and the beat goes on. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And I am going to be the one of the people that's sitting back and watching you do it and enjoying that. So I talked a lot.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
I'm really grateful through the music stuff. I get to meet, you know, such cool people and you know, talk with, you know, people like you and everything like that. And so, you know, that's another, you know, perk of it, you know, because I love playing music, but, it, you know, it's the connections I've made along the way, too, that really, you know, kind of cement it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can give you, too. I mean, if you haven't, I'll send you a list of the radio stations that I have. I was with Hamilton Radio, and they're the number one internet radio station in the state of New Jersey, but they're awesome, Gene Pirro, and they'll give you like 24/7 airplay for your music if you're not on them, that show already. And they've been number one for, I don't know, 25 years, almost 25 years now. And they're above national radio stations, so you would get a lot of there. And he's working too with the UK a lot now with a lot of different radio stations. But I have a list of like 250 that I'm getting ready to contact. So I'm going to be busy. But I always find an excuse not to do my own thing. I don't know why. It's like I just enjoy promoting other people. I really enjoy promoting you, and I enjoy doing the show. And I got a little bit nervous, though, when my laptop went off completely, and actually the surge protector went off. So I'm going to call my computer guy and say, what was that about? That it would go like that, and then black. And then my surge protector went off, too. So that could have been really something with even where I live. It could have been, you know, somebody's working on electricity out there. But luckily, we didn't lose the show.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't lose the show.
We stayed on.
That was good. That was good. Well, I hope, is there anything else you want to share? Because I have to talk about my not-for-profits. And I'm getting a spam call.
I'll just say, you know, I really appreciate you having me on. It was such a great time, and it's great to talk to you. And I'm glad everything worked out, you know, with the show, and we stayed on and everything like that. And it was a great time.
Me too.
So I really appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome, and it was my honor to have you on the show, Jake. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And I know you have a great future ahead of you. So, it's been my pleasure to have you on. So thank you again for being on. And that's it. I'm going to talk about my not-for-profits now. And then I'm going to promote the show. And it wasn't too long that we were off, right? How long do you think was it that we were like, well, we were not off at all, but where I was.
Yeah, we
going,
weren't off, so zero.
We were on, but it wasn't too long that I was going, wait a minute, what's going on? Oh, no, I'm plugged in, but my computer's off. I get, well, people will just have to hear that with the rest of my talking. So, all right, everybody, that was Jake Thistle. I'm going to sign off from Jake and keep an eye out for this youngster. No, he's not a youngster. He's a young man. He is an up-and-coming, iconic young man because he is so talented. And I hope to see you in person. I hope that I can get to come down to Danny Clinch's or wherever you're going to be and check you out and meet you in person. That'll be a real thrill because I've been, you know, promoting Gary Clinch for years now, and I promoted a lot of young people. And, and by the way, I said I will probably be having Mr. Mahoney on soon. I wanted to put some space in between it, but it's not going to be feasible because I got to get busy on myself. And the longer I put that off, the further away it is from my single. And you've got to jump on these things, you know, when you release it. It's like 10 years later, promoting your album is like, oh, well, it's still country rockabilly, so that hasn't changed. All right, hon. You take care. Be well. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
And thanks for being on the show.
For sure. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
And I'm going to remember what you said. They auctioned me off. I love that.
That's
I
right.
love it. They auctioned me off. That is like, I'm going to write that down. They auctioned me off. That's what, Jake, I think you really have to, you have to write a song, They Auctioned Me Off. I really.
There you go.
It's just, because it makes me smile and laugh ear to ear. It's funny. Because they do auction people off. I mean, on TV, you know, I mean, years ago, they would have, you know, a handsome, like a star, movie star, and they would auction him off at a benefit. Like, so that's what they, I love the way you said it, though. It was just so casual. Well, this is how it started. They auctioned me off. it makes me laugh. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I think you're a great kid. Okay, bye-bye. Bye, Jake.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You made my day. You made my day. You made me so happy today. And
I really appreciate it. Thank you again for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome, honey. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay,
enjoy.
Well, that was Jake Thistle. And, yeah, you too. So, people, if you have to know that I am like, come on, he's 17. I'm 74 years old now. And you know darn well from listening to me that I don't act like a 74-year-old. I mean, I don't even act like an 18-year-old. I mean, I thank God every day that I still have the heart like of a teenager. I love young people. I just think, I mean, when I connect with young people, it just brings me back to all of these wonderful memories that I have when I was young like that. And they give me, it's like my life's blood. That's why I do my radio show, is because it's giving away. And this is really a true statement, and I didn't say it. I don't know if it's in the Bible or not. When they say it's better to give than to receive, it's like, you know, when you give away yourself, and like this young gentleman had done, Jake Thistle, when he does, you know, raise over $100,000 for, you know, the two of his not-for-profits for the cancer research, and then for the animals, for the dogs, like in California, I forget the name of it, but I mean, that is just awesome. So, and I really believe that everything that you give, I mean, it comes back. My grandmother used to tell me this, and then I will talk about my not-for-profits. My grandmother, my mother's mother, my Nana, she used to say to me, Nancy, never feel bad about giving away anything, no matter what it is, your money, your time, your talents, whatever it is, never feel bad because it'll come back tenfold. And that's really true. It's not only tenfold. Sometimes it's 100-fold, 1,000-fold, and it just keeps going on. So, and especially in this day and age with all of our challenges, you have to come from a giving heart. My little sermon for the night, evening. Anyway, here we go. My not-for-profits are, and they are not actively doing it, but they deserve to be promoted for the rest of their lives for all the good works that they did. Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey. Minister Steve Brigham. He was with Tent City of Lakewood, of course. It's not no longer a Tent City. It's a Destiny's Bridge, and you can find him on Facebook. All of these people have been on my radio show with the exception of one, and I'll tell you who it is when I get there. Art Ackerman, City of Angels Recovery Radio. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. And this is the person that I have not had on my show, but I look forward to having on my show someday. But I've been promoting them for, I guess, 10 years now. Well, as long as I've been on radio, almost 10 years. And it was called the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean County, but it is called Fulfill Now, F-U-L-F-I-L-L. And I believe that the person that is in charge there is the former lieutenant governor of the state of New Jersey, and her name is Kim Guidango. The next not-for-profit is Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, which is T-O-P-A-C, Outreach Prevention Agency Corporation. Clune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurateur. And everyone knows, mostly everyone knows Mr. Tim McLoon is a wonderful, wonderful, not just a fantastic entrepreneur but and founder of Holiday Express, but he's also a wonderful musician, and you can see he does a lot of shows on Facebook, so you can hear him singing and playing piano. He's an awesome musician, and I had the opportunity of singing with him a few times, with him and Bobby Bandiera at his place in Asbury Park. Okie dokie, on the boardwalk. My next one is The Rescue Mission. It's the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission on Memorial Drive in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And for those of you who are interested, they have a fantastic, it's an enormous thrift shop, a thrift store. It's like huge. And I believe that they still are open. They're keeping it very clean and socially, you know, distancing, and you have to be masked up, but they are operating because they really need those funds to be able to do their good work. My recent guest on my show that I just picked up as another not-for-profit is Rima Saman. And unfortunately, her younger brother, who is just 40 years old, passed away from COVID-19. And the not-for-profit is Rami's. And so what she's doing is starting a memorial for those who passed away from COVID-19. And a museum/museum. So they're looking for a location. Maybe people have seen it. Just go on Facebook, go to Rima Saman or Rami's Heart, excuse me, and you can see that there are like 11 hearts on the beach in Belmar. It grew from one heart, and they're stones, and you can put the name of the person and the person that passed away. And so it's a very wonderful, they do have a 503 not-for-profit now, they're certified to do that. And they really need a location to memorialize this wonderful idea of Rima's. So those are my not-for-profits. I'm looking to acquire maybe one more. And I have a few sponsors that I want to talk about. But before that, I do want to say that I am still in a grief mode and will be for a very long time, as COVID has touched my family with a cousin of mine lost their mother to COVID. And then at the end of January, I lost my dear beloved brother, Billy Ryan, the guitar man. So I want to throw that out there, that for continued prayers for the Ryan family and all of my brother Billy's fans and friends, his friends and fans, of which he had many. So he was one of the founders of Sounds of Asbury Park. Miss Billy very much. It was a totally unexpected. We expected him to survive, and he did not. So it was his time, and now he's up there with my good friend Clemens and so many other musicians that were waiting for Billy. So with that, I will say it's my pleasure and honor to do my show. For this many years, I never intended to be doing this, but it's my plan. I have a few sponsors, and there's no money exchanged. I decided to do a little bartering. So I needed some work done on my teeth, and I said, let's see what we can do with that. And so I have Dr. Ronald Chicklin, and he is a dentist, a super dentist, and he has two offices, and one is on Sunset Avenue in Ocean. And he has another one up north, and so you can find him. Just go to Dr. Chicklin, Google him, and you can find his phone number. And he does implants. He's a full service. It's a full service dentist office. My second sponsor is Dr. David Marin, and he is a chiropractor, and he owns the Marin Wellness Center. They used to be in Shrewsbury, but now they're in Eatontown, and they have wonderful doctor. They have a doctor, Dr. White, who I want to go back to. I go to physical therapy every now and then, and gets me right back in shape again. And so you can get in touch with them. They're in Eatontown, the Marin Wellness Center. Great place. I want to get back to them now. Now that I got my two vaccines, I can go back. So George C. Peck, and he is a plastic surgeon. And Noel, I have not had a facelift. I wouldn't want, no, I just am not into doing any of that right now. But he's at the tech center, and he and his brother are both plastic surgeons. And I believe his father was almost wrote the book for reconstructive surgery as far as rhinoplasty and septoplasty are concerned. But it's a full-service surgery center. They have their own surgery, their operating rooms right there. And Dr. George Pack is phenomenal. I happened to have a really bad accident. This is personal, but it's the way it is. And I had a severe trauma to my nose to where occasionally I have to go in and have a little tweak done here and there so that my nose, I can breathe through it still, which I really can't breathe very well through it, but he helps me with that. So, okay, that's it. I think I'm finished for the night. All right, Blog Talk Radio, thank you so much for letting me go over. You never cut me off. You always do such a great job. I apologize to anybody who was listening to the show. We had a little bit of a upset. I don't know, my computer, I guess it might have been even in the building. The electricity went off for a few minutes and then came back on again, but we never lost the show. Made me a little nervous, so I talked a little bit more than normal with Jake, but Jake got to tell us all about his career plans are. Go check out Jake Thistle because he is one talented dude, I'll call him. Yeah, I said I was 16 years old, right? Yeah. He's one talented guy to be watching. All right, everybody, look, please stay safe and healthy and, you know, bless everybody. That's all. We're coming out. Hopefully we're going to be coming out of these times and learning new ways of communicating. So that's it for me. Until next time, Ryan rocks it, Asbury Park style. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great evening.